Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I have a word for you that the Holy Spirit ministered to me maybe 2 days ago, very strongly, a very strong way, and I believe it will be an impartation. Romans 5, 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Hope maketh not ashamed, or another translation or way of that word in the Greek, ashamed, is disappointed, which I think is more applicable here. And I want to address disappointment and hope. There are a lot of times we experience disappointment. It's part of life, just as sorrow. But disappointment, if it's not dealt with in the spirit, can overwhelm and actually bring someone to a place of depression, besides discouragement. And it's a very serious matter, but it will come in our life. And there is a place of victory in Jesus Christ. Hope, the hope from God, which the previous verses here speak of the fact, verse 1, we were justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have peace with God. We're not at odds with God. He's forgiven us our sins. He's received us to himself. And it goes on speaking that because of the work of Christ, we have a hope in him that can lift us above and beyond the disappointments we would encounter in this life. Now, last week I heard a survey, and it's just been like sticking to me, like it bothers me. A survey, and the question was, what do you find, or where do you find meaning for your life? Where do you find meaning for your life? And I think it was 69% said family, 30-some percent said career, your work. There was 20-some percent said money, and about 20% said my faith / spirituality. And then at like 19%, it said my friends. And we're talking about meaning and purpose in life. And in a way, it didn't surprise me, but in a certain way, it was a little bit stunning in a sense that only 1 out of 5 people who answered the survey, wherever all they, asked these questions, only 1 out of 5 was a relationship with God. That tells you a lot, because the reality is God as our creator has a plan and purpose for your life, and you're only going to be fulfilled as you fulfill that which he had destined for your life. And most people walk around with an emptiness in their soul that can continue on unto where it's tormenting and just feeling really, really empty. And holidays magnify things like that. Those kind of emotions, holidays will magnify it. For some holidays, we just enjoyed our Thanksgiving celebration of thanking God for his provision for us as a nation and personally. But for some, it's a very depressing time, beginning Thanksgiving, but then Christmas, and people, they'll feel as though, well, it's supposed to be happy and people are getting together. But for many, it's a time of great sadness and sorrow. And many times depression, because people think, well, I'm supposed to be happy right now and I don't feel it. And especially if you have someone die around that time, pass away, many times their passing gets attached to that time of year. And generally those things, whether it's like springtime, oh, that's when so-and-so passed, people sometimes are sad then because there's this reminder. But because of holidays, generally you're spending time celebrating with family. If it involves family, there tends to be an attached sorrow with that. So there's a lot of people hurting, and maybe, possibly, some of you even. And generally, it's the type of thing people won't tell someone, they're not going to talk about. Maybe a close confidant, maybe they will. But many times people can feel isolated and alone, like no one understands how I feel. And that's a kind of a dangerous thought to think, because Satan will use that to try to separate you and isolate you. Well, I'm like all by myself, only one of a kind. And even to go to an event, like where someone's widowed, they can feel out of place. I don't fit. This is their family event. I don't fit. And there's times people, their situation in life at that time, at that moment, they may not have family. Now, it could be they've moved far away. It could be a divorce situation. It could be death. There can be a lot of reasons. Strife and division bring separation. There can be various reasons. But people can feel very alone, very much isolated and so forth in that time. And there's a tendency, as I said earlier, to not even mention to anybody. Now, some, they might reach for alcohol, drugs, sex, or things, trying to push certain things out from their mind, only to find, whenever the euphoria would wear off, right back where they were. So there can be a lot of torment there. Many times, people enter into this realm because of disappointment. When you have disappointment, there was something you were expecting, a way things would go or something that should be, and it doesn't happen. And as I said, everyone's going to deal with that. I mean, children might deal with that where they thought they'd get a certain toy for Christmas and they didn't get it. Just something simple like that. You know, children, you have to lead them walking through disappointment, because there's going to be things disappoint. You know, where you would say, well, I'm sorry we can't go here. Daddy can't take you, or mommy can't go or something. And you have to tell kids that. It's just, you can't protect from disappointment. We have to learn to walk through that. And the longer you live and the longer you go on in life, there are more and more things that would disappoint. Now, let me come back to that survey. If you're looking to family to be that which would satisfy your soul, that which would give some sense of purpose, you are set up for disappointment to be nailing you, knock you down eventually. Because a person cannot give what only God can give. So it's actually a form of idolatry. You're putting someone in the place of what only the Lord is able to give us, what we really need on the inside. So what happens if you put family first, as over 2 out of 3 Americans in this survey confessed, what now is going to happen is you begin to form in your mind, ideally, oh, it should go this way and that way. My husband will do this. My wife will do that. Our children will be this or that. And along the way, whether it's someone's sin, whether it's their choice, whether it's circumstance, things don't work out the way you thought. Bang, there's the disappointment. And to put your confidence in a human being to fulfill your life, the destiny of doing that is somewhere along the line, there's going to be a harsh disappointment somewhere along the line. I mean, if you manage to kind of go through and pretty much blessed in your life, it'll be death ultimately. This is a sobering reality. Then I hear 1 out of 3 looking to their career for fulfillment, their work. Now, probably most of those were men. Men are very prone to look to find an identity, a satisfaction, a sense of self-worth in their work. But all of me, you can get to a point, maybe you can't do that work anymore. You know, physical reason. There can be things, you know, the economies of the world are not under your influence and control. You live where you live and you're subject to what's going on. Last 2 years, because of our current presence, brought a lot of blessing on our country. But don't be fooled. That can all flip in a day, overnight, can all flip. You know, certain circumstances and events. And then the thing that blows my mind is 1 out of 3 would say money. Finding meaning in life and having money. But that's the guy or the gal works all the time to get more and more money, thinking that that which money could buy could produce that which they yearn for in their heart and in their soul. The Beatles had one thing right. Can't buy me love. Money can't buy me love. That's true. You can't buy love. Nor can you buy joy, nor can you buy the peace that only God gives. But praise God, those things are freely given to whosoever would believe, whosoever would allow Jesus to be Lord of their life, whosoever would draw near to him, walk with him, abide in his word. Those things are freely available. But if we're looking to these other things for a sense of purpose and meaning, ultimately, you're going to have disappointment on top of disappointment on top of disappointment. I remember hearing, you know, Naples, Florida is a millionaire's retirement city. And I remember hearing someone who lived there, that had, and I think they worked in a hospital, and they said, you know, the highest suicide rate per capita in the United States was in Naples, Florida. I don't know if it still is. That was a few years back. Millionaire retirement city. Highest suicide rate per capita in the United States. And why would that be? Because they were looking to money and pleasures to satisfy and fulfill, and having being retirement million. A million's not what it used to be, but it's more than what I know about. having all that money, and they still don't have peace or joy. Still feeling alone, isolated, the disappointments of life, being overwhelmed with depression, unto suicide. And something I've been even more aware of just in recent weeks is how much the younger generation, whatever you want to call millennial, whatever, dealing big time with suicide thoughts and talks amongst themselves. I'm talking about big time, major. Suicide. Talking about death. You know, there was a certain point, it was sort of like a fad. What do they call it? Like death metal music, death goth, and all this about death. And like an infatuation with that. That's demonic. People that submit themselves to that are submitting to demons. God gives life. Satan destroys, takes life. He kills. And it's a very dangerous thing. But you see, if someone does not have their hope established in God, and that emptiness is there, and it's always there, it's pressing upon them. And you hear what's going on around us in the world, which always has been, is, and will even increase before the return of Christ. It can be very depressing. So what happens to try to escape the depression, you know, the alcohol, drugs, sex, and whatever else people would do, to try to escape, but there's no escaping. You wake up the next day, and there it is, in your face, and it's worse, and the emptiness is greater. And I've been just pondering over this, praying over this, sorrowing over this, actually. You know, how many are so empty and lost? And many who know Christ even still end up in that place because the hope of Jesus Christ is not kept alive in the heart. And if you misplace that looking to your family or career or money or friends, friends was at like just slightly under faith, like 1% under. You know, the whole thing with romance is people magnify that. What's really behind that, or the essence of that, is this special person's going to fulfill my life. This person's going to give me what really I can only get from God through Jesus Christ. So what you have, you know, the whole fall in love and, oh, this is just perfect. Oh, this is so awesome. But the reality is they have flesh, you have flesh, flesh meets flesh, flesh gets mad at flesh. And suddenly this person's not providing this fantasy anymore that someone would have of this person fulfilling them. So you know what the next step is? You find somebody else. Because as long as you hang on to the idea, a person will fulfill me, then you have to always keep finding somebody else. There'll be somebody else, this perfect person. There's only one perfect person. It's Jesus Christ. Now, God ordains people to be together, and he'll bring people together that actually are very opposite in some ways, where the strengths of the one counterbalance your weaknesses. So if you walk in God's love, you can get along. But if you don't walk in love, you won't kill each other. Because this person's strengths are so opposite of yours, and they irritate you. You know, you have, could have someone that's real freewheeling, impulsive, spontaneous, and the other one's methodical, organized, disciplined, and all of that. And it can be a great compliment if you're walking in love. But if you're not, you'll do nothing but irritate and grate on each other. As this one illustration pops in my mind. I'm not talking about me and my wife. Okay, just so you don't read into things. So what are we looking to really for our hope? Our hope's that which we're looking to in our heart, in our soul, to really fulfill and satisfy. Most of humanity's walking around empty. And it's so sad. And if they're resistant to the Holy Spirit and any conviction, they close themselves even from which that, the gospel of Christ, which could set them free and bless them. So anyway, I've been thinking on these things this week. The survey. The suicide obsession that's in a lot, especially in young people. If you're not around that, you don't realize. I'm not around it a lot, but I have enough exposure to know this is a very real problem. Talked about. And, you know, people, it's not just an American thing. Don't interpret things just in light of your own experience. In India, a few years ago, and I was there, I saw in their newspaper, it was saying there's so much suicide among farmers that they were averaging 16,000 a year. Now, it's a population of 1.2 billion. 16,000 a year, just farmers committing suicide because they had no hope. How sad. Now, certain religions really set up for suicide, like Hinduism. Oh, you'll die and come back and it'll be better. What a devil's doctrine that is. Well, I might as well just end it because I'll come back. And a lot of this New Age stuff, it's actually rooted, it's Hinduism stuff. Most people out here don't realize that because they're not exposed to the Hindu stuff. But there's a lot of things that are being done out there. Brother Israel will come over and, like, say we're riding down a road and you see a thing where it says, like, yoga classes or something along the road. It's like, oh, that's demonic. That's what those demon-possessed priests, Hindu priests, they do this stuff. And you see, Satan always entices people in, very subtle. Oh, this is good. But you go deeper, and you get to where you're giving your soul over and taking demons on. If you go deep enough in that stuff, transcendental meditation, all that stuff, it actually is opening up to demons. And they don't have mercy. Okay. So I'm just sort of setting the stage here. You know, the thing with that survey, where do people find fulfillment? The suicide thing, out of the hopelessness, especially in this youngest generation. And then, people isolated, alone, being overcome with disappointment, depression, enhanced by the holidays. So these things all stirring around in me. And I want to go to Psalm 42. And if you fall under any of these categories where, you know, the disappointment's just, it's like a burden on your shoulders. It's a weight or depression or anything like that. I believe there's going to be an impartation to your spirit this day and set you free. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as the hart or the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Have you ever been in a position of extreme thirst where you're dehydrating? There's nothing you're thinking about other than getting water. And speaking of like the deer and thirst, going for the stream, like the mountain stream, panting after, he says, so pants my soul after you, O God. You can have hurt, disappointment, wounding in your heart, that's so deep that really only God can touch your heart. Only He can set someone free. There's so many times some things are so deep in someone. And if it's not dealt with, it turns into things like depression, utter hopelessness, unto a suicidal mentality. He says, my soul thirsts for God. God has to touch my heart. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, for us, it's a choice. You can choose to appear before Him right now, right today. I mean, that's part of why you're here. You've already done that. My tears have been my meat day and night. There are times some things are so distressing, so such a wounding, it can be disappointment, that all you can do is weep. Most likely, most all of us have experienced that in our life at some time. If you haven't, well, praise the Lord. But probably most of us have. You know, if you're in that position, you can't eat. Your body's not open to food. I mean, you just like the sobbing type of thing. While they, his enemies, devils, continually say to me, where is your God? Where is your God? When you're in that place of a deep wounding, deep hurt, sorrow, disappointment, you can expect this, that devils are going to come try and beat on your head and say, where is your God? Because he wants to steal your faith, because your faith is the way unto victory. He wants to steal the word out of your heart, bring doubt and unbelief. Where is your God? That's the voice of the devil. You know what? He hasn't left. He never leaves where he is. He's at the right. He's on the throne. And he's with you. He's waiting for you to come to him. He's waiting for you to cry out to him. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy, with praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So what the psalmist is saying here, if people who are saying this, who are actually yielding to devil's voices, were the very people that were around him, the people he went to worship the Lord with. They had times of praise, joyous times. But sometimes people you think are your friend aren't really your friend. Or sometimes there's people who aren't really yielded to the Holy Spirit, and they can be mouthpieces for the devil. Job's friends was an example of that in Scripture. He says, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? This is interesting to me. It's like he's having a conversation with himself. So he stops. You know, there's the disappointment, the being cast down to where it's like someone like dying of thirst or tongues cleaving to the top of their mouth. Water, water, water. That's the comparison that's made. He says, why is my soul cast down? Why am I disquieted, or why am I distressed and depressed? Hope thou in God. So he's speaking to himself. Hey, buddy, wake up. Hope in God. I'm talking to myself here. I'm not talking to you with these terms. To talk to ourselves at times, say, why are you allowing yourself to come to this depth when you can set your hope in God and begin to release faith and allow the Spirit of God to set you free? Now, when you're beat down, when you're depressed in that, emotionally, you do not feel like doing something like that. Mentally, you don't, you know, because you're being overwhelmed. Praise God if we're strong enough to step aside from our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, to step aside and say, because of my relationship with God, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to keep hanging on to this. There's a certain discipline to that, a certain self-awareness. I'm feeling this way, but I need to step aside from that and cast my eyes back on the Lord and establish my hope. He says, I hope in God, or he's the one. See, when God's your hope, you're looking to him. If you're looking to people for fulfillment, back to the survey, you're going to be disappointed. If you're looking to career or work or money, you'll come up empty over and over to where you say, what's the meaning of life? Why am I even here? And see, when someone begins to think that, now they're open to hear the devil's voice. Just end it. Just kill yourself. You know, people become open to those demons' voices where maybe before they wouldn't have paid any attention to it. Praise him for the help of his countenance. Where the presence of God with you can set you free. He is your deliverance, your salvation. Oh my God, my soul's cast down within me. What are you going to do about it? Therefore will I remember you. Oh God, my soul's cast down. Oh God, I have this deep disappointment deep within me. My heart's broken. I'm going to remember the Lord. I remember what he's done. I remember the covenant. Verse 7 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. There could be some possible different ways people might interpret this particular verse, but when you consider disappointment, hurt, being wounded, and these things, how deep that can strike in your soul. And that's the context here. I interpret this that out of the depth of your pain, out of the depth of that disappointment or depression or whatever it is, you cry out to the very heart of God, the depth of the heart of God. And when it speaks of his waterspouts, that's in the Hebrew speaking of like a water flowing in a stream. Water gives life. You don't have water, you die. Thy waves and billows, or speaking of like waves, like a breaker wave, it's come over me. Out of the depth of your pain, we can lay hold of the depth of the compassion of God. There are times, I know I experience that compassion in a greater way than other times. We just don't walk in that like all the time. But there's this, like a deep well in the compassion of the Lord. And it says that he's touched with the feeling of your infirmity, speaking of Jesus Christ, our high priest. The very deepest pain and sorrow of your heart, he knows and feels that pain and is touched. But it's incumbent upon us to cry out to him, to draw near to him. He's provided that which we would need for his presence, for his ministry. But it's unto us. And sometimes, you know, like we cover things over in life. And there's pains or sorrows and people try to escape or they try to just sort of block it out. You can't block out spiritual realities. And when you come into a place where you're laid bare in the depth of your soul, I mean, it's the best I know how to say it. When you have that moment in your life, your soul's laid bare. Everything else is, I mean, it's like it's not really there. You are just hurting, raw soul in pain. We are most positioned to cry out to God in a way we've not before. Many times we don't take proper actions in life until there's a certain pain associated. It's like, well, I better do something about this. You know, I jokingly, self-deprecating humor, you know, poke at myself as to when, you know, I had an ingrown toenail and I'm playing basketball with a high school students and one of the kids lands on my big toe. And I finally go to the doctor. I mean, it got to where pain was so bad that it hurt while I was laying down. You know, and finally go, and he says, that is the worst ingrown toenail I've ever seen. That's what the doctor told me. This is like 25 years ago. He said, why did you wait so long? Well, it didn't hurt me bad enough to make me do something. But it hurts now. We got to do something. And many times we're like that relative to our soul. You know, you just sort of learn to tolerate. The thing with pain, you can learn to tolerate it. But that's not good because now you're not really doing anything to deal with it. We have to maintain in our heart, I'm not going to just accept I'm living with this pain. Where's healing? Where am I going to get healing? Where am I going to get relief? Where am I going to see a change in this? But when you just accept things, when you accept these pains of life and are not looking at there's going to be healing or deliverance or peace come to us, then we are resigned to it, and it will only increase in pressing down upon us. Which then, if we're not really drawn on the Lord, you're going to go to the flesh. And thus, that's the basis of all the addictive behaviors people have. No one starts out saying, I want to be a drug addict. I want to be an alcoholic and just lay on my puke and slobber and lose everything in life. Nobody starts out saying that. But the thing is, if we don't draw our hope in God, we can end up there. And the thing is, you must have hope. Without it, there's like depression and just self-destruction. But the hopes that are in the flesh will always let you down. The hope that's in God does not disappoint. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, a song will be with me. My prayer shall be unto the God of my life. I'll say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Well, God doesn't forget us. Again, this is wrong thinking. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You know, devils will talk in your ear, especially when you get isolated. You're dealing with sorrow, sadness, and all that. Man, it's prime time. Devil try to really talk. Sometimes he works through people. He says, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily to me, this is like, I read this, and it's like in a mocking spirit, where's your God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He's speaking to himself. Hope thou in God. Reestablish your hope in God. For I'll yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God. We read on Psalm 43. Obviously corresponds with Psalm 42. Judge me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. It doesn't say David wrote this. Most likely it was him. And referring to the nation turning against him and Saul, King Saul, wanting to kill him, hunting him down like hunting rabbits. You're the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Well, the only reason we continue in that is because we've not really cried out to him yet in faith. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to the holy hill, to thy tabernacle. Speaking of the presence of God. Lord, send out light and truth. Let them lead me. When we are in a place where our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts are being overwhelmed, it's like you're being held underwater and let you come up for a little air and I'll hold you back down again. It's the truth that will set you free. Your emotions, your feelings could be bouncing off the wall. We have to understand it's the truth. Lord, send your truth, the word of truth to my heart. He says, then will I go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon a harp I'll praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God. So the psalmist encourages himself in this. And, you know, there's times someone can have a wound that's so deep, it can seem there's nothing. You know, nothing someone can say. And people can begin to believe, this burden is heavy. I can't cope with it. And again, then it become vulnerable to suicidal type thoughts. There's no hope. You see, the hope that God would give us keeps us pressing on. We must keep moving forward. This is where this retirement mentality, and I'm not saying it's wrong to retire from your place of employment, but you don't retire in life. From living to serve God and do his work. You never stop. Because to do that's death. If I don't have hope before me, if I don't have that which I'm reaching for, then I don't need to lay hold of all that God has for me. I don't need to lay hold of healing. I'll lay down and die. I don't need to lay hold of his prosperity. I'll just, you know, do nothing in poverty. I don't need to lay hold of his peace. So many, they chart this course. I want to just live for my own pleasure. The end of my life be for my pleasure. But God wants us to go out in a blaze of glory. Go out serving him, praising him all the days of our life. It must be a determination that we make, and it keeps us moving forward. If you embrace the love of God at all, you can't quit. Somebody else needs what you have. Quit cannot be in our mentality. If those thoughts, and the devils will bring those thoughts, why don't you just back off, just kind of fade away, quit, whatever. Well, you're going to be destroyed right there. Like Paul said in Philippians, he it's time he'd rather go to be with the Lord, but it's more needful I stay here for you. I still have something to give. But when your work's finished, when it's like, beam me up, Scotty, take me on up. That's a Star Trek reference, okay. That's like 50 years ago, the old Star Trek. Well, anyway, I'm not a Trekkie. That just came to my mind. Beam me up. But you see, if we do not hold fast to the hope that God would have, we can just sort of give up and surrender in life. And if we don't deal with the disappointments that come, you can get wore down, wore down, wore down, where you just say, I can't take it anymore. I've had enough. And then do whatever your response would be. But we have hope through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 says we have hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a hope and an eternal destiny of heaven. We must stay fixated upon that. Life's frail. Life is frail. You can be here one day and you're gone the next, even at a young age. Sometimes people are young and they're immortal or whatever, even at a young age. My hope is in him. The meaning and purpose of my life is from him. It's not from people. Things change in life. Things can change drastically in life. You know, you have people that become widowed, or maybe through divorce. Everything's turned upside down, changed. You have a sense of, where do I even fit? Our hope still needs to be in the Lord. And you get up and go again. And God will sign someone for you to love again. I don't necessarily mean you remarry. I'm not talking about that. But somewhere where you give of yourself. Because if we just become self-centered, dwelling on ourselves, that'll swallow us up. There's joy in the love of God. There's joy in living the love life. We just continue on. Sometimes, you know, who you would pour out to is going to change in your lifetime. Maybe some, you know, in an idyllic way. I mean, there's always, through all their years, somebody's there, whatever. But it's not like that for most people. We have hope through Jesus Christ. There's hope that you can be healed from the disappointment, from the broken heart, from the burdens in your soul, from pain or sorrow. There's hope you can be healed today. I can't do it. No person can do it. Don't let yourself look to a person. Out of the depth of the pain or sorrow, brokenness in your heart, cry out to the depth of the heart of the love of God, compassion of Jesus. He's the only one that truly feels the hurt you would feel. People will search out for someone that can understand them, and that's helpful. I mean, that's nice. But sometimes you get to a point, there's nobody really understands the depth. You know, us being created in the image of God, God wants us to understand him. We want someone to understand us. He's the only one that completely understands you. He's the only one whose power completely can set you free. He's the only one whose love is unending. There's no end to it. That can minister to us. He's the one who will give you self-worth. He's the one to bring satisfaction and fulfillment. Jesus, hallelujah. And the good news, he loves you. He's died for you. He's freely given all that we would need. He wants to pour it out to us. He wants to set us free, but it's up to us to cry out to him. And whether you do it in a meeting like this, or you do it at home on your bed by yourself, whether you do it with someone or alone, it doesn't matter. The issue is that the moment in time where it's your cry to him, Lord, you may say, I feel empty, I feel hurt, I feel depressed. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive, especially in the holiday season, because there's hurting people around us. And some people might wear a smile, and inside they're really hurt. And except the Lord reveal it or them tell you, which most people won't do that. I mean, you don't know except for they tell you or the Lord show you. But we want to maintain a sensitivity in love to help somebody else. But today, the Spirit of God wants to minister to whoever this applies to. Jared, would you guys come and maybe, Lord, put a song on your heart? I don't just lay hands on people all the time. Watch me for a while. You notice that. Some people, it's like some fulfillment for the preacher. Feel like, oh, I'm doing this and that. Except the Lord's doing something. It's nothing. Okay. But I do feel that impression where if somebody would want prayer relative to this, whatever, the depth, you don't have to tell me what it is. I'm not looking for that, but just for an impartation. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you are touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Lord, that whoever may have been hit with thoughts and emotions this very week, and to know that this word's for them. I'm trusting, Lord, that you minister a breakthrough, that the breaker waves of the Spirit pour over them and bring deliverance and freedom. Hallelujah. Let's begin to sing unto the Lord. And allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it's going to flow. And you might say, well, I'm happy, I'm fine. Well, then out of love, let's maintain a respect for the Holy Spirit and his presence now to minister to those who might be really wounded and hurt.